Welcome back to the first installment of Bluish Podcast for 2025. Can't believe it. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to be your first guest of the year.
I'm so excited that you're my first guest and you're also my first biracial guest on Bluish.
Perfect.
So this is amazing. Kindred. This is my friend Perry. Welcome to the podcast. We've just been vibing the past year or so.
We met like last year?
Was it in 2024? It was at 20 something when we met, right?
No, I think maybe it was 2024.
I think it was 2023. Yeah, I think it was 2023.
Well, yes. Either way,
we've been vibing for like a year ish.
It's been great. I'm not from Oklahoma, so it was like on my priority list to find some friends out here. And you have just been such a great find, treat. Like this has been a great friendship to develop.
I know. Divine intervention. Because I remember that day, and there were so many new people that came to 20-somethings that day. I think Kyra came.
Yep.
Ashley was there. You were there. And then we decided we were going to do that book club.
I know. Like, randomly at the table.
Yeah, we were like, we're going to do it.
Another friendship. Yeah,
never finished that book either. What was
it? That book was too much.
Tao.
It was like sexual.
Yeah, healing love through the Tao. Great book, but you have to, like, you need to be in a divine union
too.
Or you need to really so be deep. Like ready to do the work.
You need to give that book like a year.
Yeah, if you don't have a yoni egg, you don't even know what a yoni egg is. Yeah,
you're but not read ready the book for that book if you don't have one.
Yeah, I think it's a good book. I actually should get more into it this year because they say if you do that stuff, it like heals other parts of your body and like the breath work and stuff. So maybe we should open it back up and commit to.
I think we just have to do a long-term like approach to that book.
Yeah, it's like
there's a lot of practices.
It's like Sacred Woman.
Yeah, you had to like study it.
I've been listening to Sacred Woman for like 2 years now because it's so much information.
Deep, yeah.
I feel like I need to listen to it 3 times before I fully grasp the book.
Yeah. So our book club started intense and
abruptly fast, because it was so intense. So maybe we'll start something small, like The Alchemist or like The Bible. No, I'm just kidding.
Right, two other heavy books.
Yeah, exactly. The Alchemist is a great book.
Who we are.
Yeah. We have London Fogs here. Very great. Very delicious. We always need a hot drink on the pod. I always try to make my guests
and
hot drink.
And a chilly morning.
It's cold out. And the fog is back. I'm pissed.
Yesterday
hate this
was
fog.
So pretty and sunny.
And it's been kind of nice. It's been a mild winter so far, I feel like. February seems to be the month that
winter wants to come.
I think we had a tornado in February last year or a couple years ago.
It's an interesting part of
Oakland. Very
I'm still getting used to that. Like,
yeah.
That's a natural
and
disaster.
That Twister movie did not help because I feel like
I
now everybody.
You should, like, no, thank you.
It was so intense. It was like people are going to be terrified to come to Oklahoma during tornado season. They made that movie look like a horror movie for tornadoes.
That's crazy.
I was like.
It's really not as bad as I thought.
It's not.
Like, it's the season goes by so fast, and you're like,
yeah,
a couple of weeks.
It
of
does.
Like,
and if you listen to the news and you, like, have
prepare
stuff,
yourself, yeah,
you're
just
it's like, okay,
news.
It's getting a shelter, okay, it's getting a tub. Or if you're me, I stay in the bed.
You stay in the bed?
I stay in the bed. Until they say it's on my street, I am in the bed.
Do you have a shelter?
No. I'll just get in that closet. But this house is, like, 100 years old. So I feel like if it has withstood 100 years
house.
In Oklahoma, I'm hoping to God it'll be okay if a little wind.
For sure.
But if not, hey, it was my time.
In God's hands, yeah. Always.
It was my time. So, okay, well, let's start off with some questions. So tell me a little bit about your biracial background. Who are your parents? All of that.
Okay. Well, I'm born and raised in Denver, Colorado. My dad is from Colorado. He is my white half. And then my mom is from Chicago, Illinois, but they lived in Colorado most of their life, and she's my black half. So I'm black and white. Colorado is an interesting place to be biracial. I would say it's not very biracial.
Really?
Or like mixed up in a certain sense. But I didn't really realize that until like other people kind of came in. They're like, where are all the black people or what's going on? Because I always saw all of my black relatives and stuff. My mom has 5 brothers and sisters.
Oh,
so
wow.
I have like a big family, which I saw a lot of in my childhood, which is awesome. So I never thought there was a lack of black people because I'm like, there's like 15 of them at my house right now.
Yeah.
But like my boyfriend came, he's like where are all the black people? And when I moved to Oklahoma, I'm like, oh, this is why he asked me that.
Yeah.
Everyone's everywhere out here. It's just a different vibe for sure. Like being here and there.
Did your parents meet in Colorado?
Yeah, they met in seventh grade. They're like middle school sweethearts.
So they've dated that entire time?
I think they started dating in like ninth grade. Aww. And then they dated until they graduated and my dad went to the military. And then they like kept... Oh, I actually heard a really cute story this holiday season that I hadn't heard before, that like my dad was coming back from like boot camp and trying to reach my mom, and she wouldn't answer because they had moved houses. And so he was like trying to reach her, and it would have been like, he was like, had we not gotten contact, we wouldn't have, like, our relationship would have ended right there. And so then,
because he wouldn't have been able to find her.
Yes. And like, they wouldn't have been in touch. Aww. And then I think my mom called my dad or something. Aww. And they like got in touch right before he left, right before he went to like Japan. Aww. And then they got together. So it was kind of like,
thank God for the yellow pages
relationship. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We didn't have text or anything at that time.
Aww.
So yeah, I hadn't heard that story before, but it was cute.
I didn't know that they met that young and were just vibing together.
Like,
deeply in love. That's the best relationship. You've never been in love with anybody else. You're just like, truly, we've been locked in through every season with each other.
Truly.
That is beautiful. It's oh my gosh. Uncommon. So I didn't know. Well, I guess I could have assumed that there weren't a lot of black people in Colorado, but I really didn't know.
And there are.
That.
Like, don't get me wrong, but the layout is really different of just like where everyone is, I guess. And
do you guys
like,
have a black side of town there?
Yeah, I would say definitely. And I guess maybe this is just, I didn't grow up nearby it. And so that's where, like, my experience was how it was, because I just didn't grow up in that area.
But how did you meet your boyfriend? Because was he out there at one point?
No, we actually met in Kansas in college.
Okay, okay. When you said school the other day, I thought you meant, like, high school.
In college.
Okay, college. Yeah.
And that was cool.
Okay. And there weren't a lot of black people at that college?
No, a lot.
Oh, there were?
That
okay.
I went to a predominantly white high school. I went to a performing arts school. Mm-hmm. And then a big, like, something I was really looking for in my college journey was, like, just more diversity and more of a mix. I just wanted to be around, I guess, my people on the other side. I had been around, like, lots of, you know, white kids and stuff growing up, which is great. I have a lot of white friends.
Yeah.
Cool. But I know I was just looking for like something different than I had experienced most of my childhood as far as like my environment of peers and stuff, right? Because I did grow up around my family.
Yeah, that's very conscious of you to make that choice.
Yeah, and I think sometimes my like college decision was like a little bit short-sighted because that was the only like standard I was looking for.
Yeah,
I was
diversity.
Like, yeah, it's like a big diverse crowd. It was very conscious of me to want that, but at the same time, I was like not looking for anything else really.
Yeah.
So once I found that, I was like, this will be great.
I don't care about academics. Yeah, I don't care about softball
or any of this stuff. So
well, it ended up working out for you
perfectly.
Yeah, you got him in. You got a. Yes. College sweetheart.
Exactly. Got some friends out of the deal.
That's sweet. That's sweet that you were like craving that like black connection.
Totally.
Because you didn't have that.
Just from
that
peers
much.
Especially. Like it definitely was like that school element needed to be shaken up because I had done dance classes, softball, school, all in like predominantly white communities.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
That is interesting. Okay, so we have something in common. We both have a black mom and a white dad, and we look so different.
And I've heard that like, other mixed people I've met, they're like, oh, that's interesting that you have a black mom and a white dad. Yeah. Like, when I'm like, that is what it is. Like, isn't that interesting? But I guess a lot of people have the reverse.
It's flipped. Anytime I tell somebody that my mom's black, you would think I told them that, like, the president died. Like they're like
what? I know.
Your mom is and I think for me it's even more of a shock to them because of my complexion. I feel like usually most of the people I've met that have a black mom and a white dad are usually lighter. And I don't know why.
Interesting.
But they are usually lighter.
Really different.
Yeah, but ours is like really different. Yeah. Like sometimes people think you're not mixed. Do they ever think you're anything else?
People think I'm Hispanic, Native American.
I see the native.
I've got I've gotten like everything.
I thought you were native when I first met you.
If I go anywhere Spanish speaking, they'll immediately speak Spanish to me, which is why I need to learn Spanish.
You do kind of give like Afro-Latina vibes, like Dominican.
I can see it. I feel it.
You do. But black and white.
Black and white. I know. Everyone's always surprised.
Yeah.
It's just a classic mix.
I think I remember now. I was surprised. I was like, oh my gosh. So it's like the same reaction that people give me. But so do you ever remember as a kid conceptualizing like, oh my gosh, I don't look like my parents. Like, I look different. Or do you ever remember looking at your mom and being like, what's going on here?
I didn't ever think like, I don't look like my mom. I don't look like my dad. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Not that I didn't notice that, but it just didn't cross my mind as much as, oh, I don't look like my peers and stuff. I had one mixed friend in high school and we were really tight because we were mixed and we both had just like a different level of common ground around the rest of the girls that we were with. So
if mixed girls are cool, it's like the best connection, but if they have like that hater energy or that like we're in competition energy, it is so bad.
And I think mixed girls do sometimes give that
they do
hater energy because we're pitted against each other.
Yes, we're pitted against everybody. Like, everybody is like,
oh, like, you're not black, you're not white.
Yes, growing up there was, I don't know, maybe it's changed for the newer generations, but when I was in high school, middle school, being light complected meant like you were the prize, like every guy wanted you because you were mixed.
Yes, and
I was,
I've like heard that rhetoric a lot, and it's just like, it's not really true.
It's not
also like damaging. Totally,
it's not. And maybe it was true for some women, their experiences with men, like maybe that's valid for them, but it made a lot of my sisters, black sisters, not like me. Just, they didn't know me or anything. Sure. They just didn't like me because they thought
men were picking
mixed girls over black women, which I don't agree with. I feel like you should just pick whoever you want, but I do believe that the men should be. Why are we not picking more black women? You know, sometimes it is a truth for some people that men will choose a lighter complected woman over a darker complected woman, and I just don't get it.
I don't get that.
And I wonder psychology. If it's like a mother wound thing, like if a lot of black boys just have like this mother wound and they're like, But then I've seen a lot of black men and mixed men and white men, like they want chocolate.
Yes, love a queen.
Love a queen. And it's something I sometimes in the past I would say that I felt like I wasn't black enough. Like I was like, and when I got to college,
absolutely,
they were not worried about mixed girls like they were in high school and middle school. They were like, they want the honeys, the queens, the chocolate, all of that. And I was like, I'm not black enough. Like,
no, for sure.
So it's just evolved. It just evolves.
It's like a constant battle of being like, I'm not black enough. I'm not white enough. Yeah. I'm too white. I'm too black.
Yeah.
I'm
and I've never cared about the white enough part. I don't know. Like growing up, I was like, I don't want to fit in this
space. That part almost is like, like, it doesn't need to be talked about.
No. Kinda. Like, I'm like,
it's
already, hush.
It's out there. Like,
yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm black.
I'm not worried about it.
I've heard of some mixed people putting white on their thing when they fill it out.
I have never put white. Or both.
If I don't have the option for two or more, I put black.
Me too.
I never put white.
Always.
Yeah.
On tests, on everything. I'm like, no, I'm black.
Yeah.
I want you to know.
And I don't know if it's like the one drop rule being in our mind, but like, I'm just like, my mom's black. My grand, like, people I was raised with are black. I wasn't raised with any white family. So it's like, I'm black. But then you look and you're like, oh, okay. People are like, wait, are you sure you ticked off the right box? Like, yes.
You're like, yes, I wouldn't accidentally check off that box.
Yeah.
Because they actually tell you it's not even advantageous to check off that box.
I actually just interviewed for a role, which I didn't get, which I'm not mad about, like rejection, redirection. But it was for a role that was going to be working with a predominantly black population. And I actually feel like part of the reason I didn't get the role is because I didn't look
black.
The part fully. Like, they knew my background. Like, we talked about it. Like, it's a great thing. But I feel like for a role like that, they wanted somebody fully black, which I kind of get, like, I guess. But it was just interesting because I'm like, I feel like that's kind of what it is.
No, I could see it. I could see it, especially with, like, I don't know who you would have been working with or what the job would have been. But, like, I don't know. Sometimes I just know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, like, it's an unspoken thing. It's just like
where it's like, I know that that's why.
I know that's why
they didn't consider me the same way. Because qualification wise and personality wise, I'm sure you were perfect for it.
Yeah. So I feel like they were already thinking of crisis control. If other people would have complained, like, why do we not have a fully black person in this role?
Yeah,
so I'm like, so you know what? It kind of makes sense, but.
But it's fine.
But it doesn't. You said when you were growing up, you realized that you didn't look like your peers. Yeah. Did any little kids ever say anything to you and you were like, what the heck?
Not really. Nothing like, nothing super crazy. Obviously, like the hair comments mm-hmm. and like, can I touch your hair type of thing mm-hmm. went on. And I didn't realize until like more recently how much maybe being mixed was the cause of this thinking in my life. But I always like really enjoyed being like one of a kind, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so like maybe people did make comments to me that I don't even didn't even process because mm-hmm. I just never saw mm-hmm. any differences as a problem. Like, I love that shit.
I forgot to grab the tissue.
No, it's okay.
I meant to think. I was like, contained. I got the tissues here.
Oh, I can God. Hold the tears up.
Oh my gosh. Are you sure?
This is real me, guys.
We will move the tissue box over here.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay.
At least for now. But yeah, no, I just always was like, it became my goal at some point to be just like not unique. Doing what everyone else is doing and yeah. just like to be different. And so I think that just all fed into like mm-hmm. me being mixed. And it's like, I didn't really mind being the only one in the room mm-hmm. because, I mean, partly because I wasn't being abused, right?
Yeah.
So like it didn't feel terrible, but at the same time, because it didn't feel terrible, I was able to walk away with some pride
yeah.
in being different. I think it like really influenced mm-hmm. a lot of my decisions later yeah. in life and like even being like two things. Like I mm-hmm. guess that's how I look at being mixed, is like just being part of two mm-hmm. things. I think that's also been like a theme in my life
mm-hmm.
with like my interests and hobbies mm-hmm. and even my work now is like very much comprised of two yeah. opposite things.
Uh-huh.
And I guess now that I'm more conscious, I find the joy in like
mm-hmm.
finding like the middle ground between these mm-hmm. two opposite things. And that's where like my life feels really good.
Yeah.
That. But,
that's beautiful. Yes. That makes me think of that song by Mariah Carey. It's called Outside. Have you heard it?
No.
Okay. It's specifically mostly about being biracial and how she says you'll always be outside. And it's like really true, but it's not like a bad thing. It's more of a empowering thing. We are just our own people, even different from other mixed people. We're just.
Yeah, because yeah. each mixture is like so unique. Like we were saying, like we're both black and white.
But yeah, but it's different.
We're like black and white of different.
Like our hair is different. Our looks, our cultures, absolutely. Everything. And it makes me think of another point. I don't subscribe to labels, mental health labels, any type of label. I'm like, all right, whatever. But I know that those are things and we've labeled them, but I just think everybody's just human in their own way.
Absolutely. And we're all a mix in a sense. Like,
we right? are.
Like, even if your skin tone doesn't represent that, like, even just being a part of two different people
mm-hmm.
is like, it's being yeah. mixed in a sense. Like, we just it have is. A, like, outer representation and, like, therefore the, like, cultural
yeah
like holding on being mixed. But
yeah, well, in all that to say, them being mixed, the Hood Healer brought this up the other day and made me think. She said a lot of racially ambiguous people struggle with, it's either bipolar depression or like mood disorders, because they're constantly having to be in two places at once. And it's why they struggle with those. That's why I say the label thing, they call it that, but like really it's just us having to be these different things and never being just this one thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is so interesting that happens to a lot of biracial
and that
people.
It then manifests as like a disorder
yeah.
potentially, or
yeah.
if you have subscribed to those labels.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, I yeah. really don't subscribe because I don't think it helps.
It does. Like, I don't think it helps either. Like, I do believe whatever autism is, I have a little bit of it. I genuinely believe that, but do I call myself autistic? No. I'm quirky. Like, that's just, those
yeah,
are my
just, like,
quirks.
Neurodivergent.
Yeah, it's just like, that's just who I am in this human experience. And I don't know if I need to label it autism
sure.
or ADHD.
Some damage done to like labeling things
yeah.
so hard.
Because then you're accepting it. You're calling it into your life at that point. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And I know there's people out there that are going to disagree with that.
Sure, because
and I think,
it gets
yeah.
severe and you need different levels
yes.
of like care and labeling to
right.
get the
to
right
get
help
the care.
For some people.
Yes.
But I think some of the labeling has made people with less severe issues think that their issues are severe because
yes.
they have a label now to like call it
yes.
by. If you would just actually not even
yeah.
give that any weight, like
yeah.
it maybe wouldn't affect you so hard.
Yeah, or look into like okay, you're struggling with anxiety, you're struggling with ADHD like symptoms. Let's look deeper into what's causing those symptoms. Mm-hmm. What is your caffeine intake? Sure. Are you on your phone before you go to bed? What type of food are you eating?
All like, there's these all these things. Things need to be checked off before yes. we go to like labels and I think so too.
That's what a lot of holistic doctors talk about when it comes to those things. They're like, depression is not a cause, it's an effect.
Sure.
And so it's like there's so many things that where you're doing that's making this become the reality. It's not just being put on you with sure. no reason.
Yeah, you weren't born this way and then it's causing right. this. It's like you're doing
you
this
have
and
a chemical imbalance
that.
Which is true, but like it can be fixed too. I feel like
sure.
sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sad, but I'm literally just PMSing.
Yeah, like I literally we have yeah. the regular shifts yeah. with the environment and eating and stuff, and then yeah. our own body shifts.
I wonder how many women think that they're bipolar and it really is just their hormones.
That they don't understand their
yeah,
cycle.
Their yeah. cycles. It's like, no, sis, you're supposed to feel
like bad sometimes.
Yeah. You're wintering in this part of the sure. the month. You're supposed to just be.
Right, because we have four seasons every month.
Every month. We have four seasons. Every year. Ovulation is your spring season. And then you have your, I think luteal is like your fall. And then winter is like when you're bleeding. Like, so it's so interesting. It's something I'm going to get into this year. Cycle yes. syncing.
I was so interested to learn about that stuff yeah. a little bit more last year. Just like,
yeah.
I didn't even know there was four parts.
I didn't either. It's the last year
I'm like, what? Why didn't I learn this?
And it makes sense.
It does make sense.
And you can only get pregnant like 5 days out of the month.
Out of the whole month.
Nobody ever told us that. Anything, like how many people have taken Plan B's and they didn't
and
even,
they didn't
need,
even
to?
Need to? No, crazy.
You know? Like how many women have been causing like havoc on their body and didn't even
be
need
like
it?
One of those medical recalls or something.
Yeah, if
in
you
the next
took a Plan
years,
B.
You might you be maybe. Owed money.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Were there any cultural traditions that you celebrated growing up from both sides? Like, did you go to church? Was there like Kwanzaa? Was there any like any type of?
I would say we didn't really celebrate Kwanzaa, but we read some books about it when I was a kid. I learned about what? It. I know about it. That was definitely all initiated from my mom and aww. Stuff. I would say we had lots of traditions, but not necessarily like racial mm-hmm. specific, I guess. My mm-hmm. mom is like loves to celebrate and is a great mm-hmm. hostess and so we always just celebrated everything
yeah
pretty fully. And then like I said, I have a pretty big family mm-hmm. So we'd always just all the birthdays yeah. all the holidays we would just all gather together. So I would say like that's my family tradition on both sides is just mm-hmm. like
gathering.
We would have big gatherings like
that's
frequently
nice.
It wouldn't be like a once a year type mm-hmm. of thing. It's like I saw my aunts and uncles every week nearly aww. Growing up and we celebrated
that's
everybody's birthday and all my cousins, like such a blessing.
I
realize now
that.
Like
yeah.
that big family energy is so precious to me aww. And like so awesome to
that
have,
is
like,
sweet,
especially on both sides of my family. I saw my dad's side and my mom's side very mm-hmm. frequently, so I'm definitely like I felt like I was really like in the mix in
yeah.
the pot, you know
yeah.
like with everybody, like and I you know when you like drop like color into like white paint and it like
mm-hmm. swirls.
I feel like aww. That's the like that's what it is to be mixed, is just like mm-hmm. that swirl mix where it's like it's so beautiful to like see that mm-hmm. swirl and what it becomes, but it's also like complicated and like complex mm-hmm. and different and awesome. And I would say that's how like my life has felt a lot,
that
especially
so
being surrounded by that much family.
Oh, I love that. My family yeah. stopped gathering after I was born. Like, they used to, I look at old pictures and I'm like, they gathered so much. And for some reason, when I was born, I don't know what happened, if they just were getting old and tired, but I wanted that so bad. Like, I think that's why I want such a big family now. And I want to marry into a family that has that already, because I love I love to gather with yeah. loved ones. So that was such a blessing.
Yeah. I would definitely not trade that for the world.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And so, I definitely want to give that to my family and like do that
yes.
for my family.
I know you will. You're going to be an amazing mom, hostess, all the things.
Yes, I love
isn't your mom a Virgo?
She's a Gemini.
She's a Gemini. What's your dad?
A Libra, I think.
That's
April
a good match.
April 19th? Is that Libra?
Oh,
Taurus?
No. That's Aries or Taurus.
Okay.
See, one or the other.
He might be an Aries, actually, which that would make sense.
Okay. Interesting match, Aries and Gemini.
I know a little bit about Gemini because Phil's a Gemini.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm Gemini, like, Virgo. I've learned a little bit about that.
Both are mutable signs.
Yes, my mom is a Gemini too.
Aww. What's your brother?
A Leo.
Wow. So you guys have like a little bit of everything. Two fire, and air, and earth.
Yeah.
Wow. Fun times. I think I did know Phil was, I don't know why I thought he was a Libra.
Yeah. No, he's, I think he's the last, no, the first day of Gemini season.
Oh, like May 20 something?
21st.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, that is the first day.
Yeah.
So he's on that cusp. He does give some Taurus energy a little bit, too.
He fully claims Gemini, though.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
And his brother and his mom are Gemini. So,
oh,
like,
my gosh.
Gemini season is crazy over there. Oh. They all are like, I'm filled with power.
Oh, my gosh. I want to meet them and see how they all act together.
Okay.
Geminis are some of the, to me, the best people. They're just fun. And they know to be the life of the party.
That's interesting.
I think that they know how to be the life. Like, they... Because they're two-faced.
I think they know how to, but they don't always.
Because they're two-faced. They have two different sides, and they sway.
Yeah.
It's almost like a Libra. Like, Libra is the scales, but, like, Gemini really is, like,
other side
hot
of the
and
coin.
Cold. Yeah, hot yeah, and yeah, cold. Yeah. Hot and
I
cold.
I can see that.
So they know when to turn it on, though.
Yes. Sometimes he will be so bubbly or whatever, and then sometimes he will not.
Like,
and
he'll
be in seconds sometimes.
Yes.
I'm like, where is that?
Yes. Where'd you go? I'm like, how did you just do that?
I know.
Well, Virgos are mutable too. We're mutable. So but we have a little bit of fixed and carnal, but I feel like since we have that earth element, they're airy. So they're like just, yeah, but we have that earth, we ground, like wind. We know 10 days ahead, like if we're going to be willing to go be a part of that and we can turn exactly. it on. We're like, okay, I can get in this space. And something I've heard about Virgos recently that Ashley was telling me, she said I'm one of the only Virgos she knows that doesn't have this trait, mm-hmm. but like they come off as rude. But I feel like me and you don't come off as rude. Like when I first met you, I wouldn't have thought you were a Virgo.
Okay.
And I feel like when people meet me, they don't think I'm a Virgo because we're naturally, we don't have RBF. Okay, I feel like a lot of Virgos have RBF.
Yeah. I could see you being a Virgo, like if I was guessing,
really?
But it's because I'm one.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Well, for you, I don't know. You gave me big Aquarius energy.
Interesting.
And is that in your big three? No.
I don't know. I'm
I need to look
so
up your chart.
Bad. I have it.
Well, yeah, let's look.
Ashley sent me it.
Of course she did.
And
she has everybody's chart in her phone, like literally.
I always go to our messages when
oh,
I'm like,
oh, my
look
gosh.
My chart.
That is
like,
so funny.
Here's my.
Don't you have Pisces? Okay. Oh, you have a Gemini moon and a Libra rising. Ooh, what's your Venus? Virgo Venus. You are Virgoed out. We both have Virgo Mercury. What's your Mars? Your Mars is in Leo. Your Jupiter is in Pisces. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what any of them really means.
So your Venus sign is like how you love and like how you exude your creativity in my mind. And I would not have expected you to be a Virgo Venus. You definitely give like I don't know. You only have Aquarius in Uranus. Wow.
Interesting.
I hope
I'll have to learn more.
Are you sure this is what time you're born? Just kidding.
She asked me that too, like 10 times. She's like, I don't believe you.
1998.
Yeah.
8 a.m.
That's me. Yeah, I double checked with my mom like 3 times. She's like, on the dot, 8 a.m.
We need to look at your Vedic chart and see what your Vedic chart is.
I think I have that done too, actually. I'll bring it.
Yeah, we'll look into that. But this is helpful. My ex was a Virgo Venus and I was a Libra Venus. So we were each other's opposite in our Venus. And I thought it was going to like be a good thing, but I don't know. So it's just interesting that you're a Virgo Venus because I'm like trying to learn now. Like, did that even do anything for him? But I feel like having Virgo anywhere in your chart makes you very analytical. So when it comes to love, are you pretty analytical or like do you like think
no, actually,
deeply sometimes into
I
it?
I mean, I think deeply all the time about all
yeah,
the things.
Yeah, you do.
But I would say like around like love and stuff, I was not thinking. Hmm. Like that's what I think is my secret is like I did not put it as like
a forefront.
A force in my like a need that I needed like at a young age. Like it was not something I cared about.
And I feel like that's very Virgo actually.
Yeah, and I obviously, like, you know, hormonally went through, like, boy crazy phases and stuff where I was like, oh, whatever, like, into it. But at the same time, it was never, like, a relationship or never, like, a, like, needing love in a sense. And maybe it's because I just, like, had love in a sense.
You
like,
did. You didn't have, you don't have a father wound. You don't have, like, a mother wound. Well, I don't know. I don't want to say, but, like.
I feel like I do have really solid relationships with my parents.
Yeah. Your needs were met.
My needs were met, and I, like. I don't know, I had lots of friends and like just different things that like made me feel good. Plus, I will say, the school I went to just didn't leave a ton of room for like distractions. Mm-hmm. And I think like in high school, if you're just like not doing a lot of extra stuff outside of the school, like what else is there to do besides like boys and friends?
Yeah.
Right? Like what else is there to
do? What else there to do?
And so it's like I just had so much other stuff to do that didn't ever like pull my attention. And I think that that actually helped me so much in like being ready to find someone when the time came.
Yeah.
Because I just like.
You had tunnel vision. You were like, this is what I want.
And for so many years, I was like, all about me and like all about my own journey and my own mission. And then like, you know, a few times I tried to
had kind some of doozies.
Betray that for a boy or whatever. Yeah. And I realized like, oh, that's for the birds. It's all for me.
Yeah.
I can't do that. I grew up for like too many years, just like all about what I have going on.
And, yeah.
And so,
you know what?
It was easy to like get away from the wrong thing kind of quick. And then the right thing kind of came that into makes my sense. Space.
That actually makes really, like, you're helping me understand Virgo Venus more. Like, that sounds like a Virgo Venus. And now that I'm thinking about him, that actually is kind of, I think, how he.
Yeah, I really have, like, a lease I on don't life care like for this at this time.
And I can walk away when I need to and not have, like, emotions about it.
Yeah.
Wow. That is powerful.
But I just think because it's, like, I'm aware of the mission outside of that. Like, I do think it's extremely important to, you know, have love and to have a partner is a cheat code for
cheat code.
I recommend it.
Recommend.
But I don't recommend, like, betraying yourself for it or
settling.
Or settling. Lowering or, standards. Or, any of that. Because that's what's not worth it. Like, being with someone you don't want to be is anti-cheat code that will set you back a lot. So
gotta heal and gosh
exactly like
go well, that's time for that again. I don't want to heal nobody. Anymore
exactly we're already healing just like the personal stuff so I think like it is worth like waiting for the right people to come into your life for sure.
I think it's interesting also that you have a Gemini moon and he's a Gemini and the moon is your feelings. And so he probably really validates your feelings.
He does even without me saying sometimes like like I'll say something once and I can tell that he heard me and like is like holding on to that information for down the line he'll say something and I'm like, oh, I didn't even know you heard me like that. Aww. And so he's really great.
My gosh, I love it.
I wish this love on everybody. Like I wish this kind of love on everybody.
Phil, do you hear fantastic. This? Oh my gosh, this woman loves you.
It's fantastic.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I'm ready for the nuptials.
Me too. I'm like just trying to we're ready up so we can so for we can the have nuptials. Awesome wedding.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. It's going to be the most beautiful wedding. Tears, 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 tears.
Totally.
So many tears. That's a little bit of our astrology talk.
Yes. I'll need to learn more so I can really like bounce back and
forth. Yeah, I'm really getting more into it. I've gotten more into it like deeper than the surface level. And I think I know why people don't believe in it. And it makes sense why they don't believe in it. Because they're just going based off their sun sign. But there is a whole mathematics to this.
There's like, so much to it.
You might have a Virgo in like the 10th degree sun. And I have a Virgo in the 1 degree. It can be completely different. Like it's so crazy. So I see why people don't believe in it, but I'm really trying to get more into learning the degrees and the houses and like trying to balance that.
Like read books or how do you find out about it? Because I think that's what's hard for me is like there's a lot of info out there.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming. It's a little hard to digest.
It's
sometimes.
A lot.
What's your best like avenue?
So I started attending these virtual classes with this lady named Mahadevi. I got connected with like a group of people that are just like aligned, like they're just aligned people. And so it's something that you just feel. And so when you find a spiritual practitioner or somebody that you just connect with, you align with, and then you like realize, okay, what they're saying holds weight, you get connected to their resources and stuff like that. Sure. So through her, I found an astrologer that I really liked. I like people that keep it real. Like, I don't want you to just be like, oh, all Virgos need to be doing this. Like, that is not astrology.
Sure.
Like horoscopes are a scam. Like trying to read the collective, I'm not a big fan of that. Yeah. But this lady, like she breaks it down of like, if you have Libra in this house and at this degree, then this is what's going on. So I actually subscribe to her Patreon and it's only like $5 a month. And she posts like in-depth videos explaining like how you look for these things, and like what to look for in your chart. And so that's been really helpful. The Hood Healer, I've been following her for years. I know some people aren't a fan of her. She's evolved so much. I'm all about not holding people to their past. Love her. She's put me on a lot with astrology. She does general like readings too, but hers are more like, hers make more sense to me when she does them generally. Like, they're not basic, in La La Land. There's so many horoscope readings that I'm like, this is La La Land. You're trying to get retweets. You're trying to just, and then people will repost it. I'm like, you aren't even going to do, like, you're not even going to call this energy in. Yeah. Like, what did you even share this for?
Sure.
Like, Leos are going to make it big in 2025. Okay, but you have a Libra moon and a Sagittarius rising. So, like, we don't even know if that applies to you. So, absolutely. I follow, her name is Stars Moon and Sun 1 on Instagram. Great lady. Okay, really enjoy her. And then my sister, she is a super spiritual person. She spent like 7 months in India last year, so she got a lot of info about Vedic astrology, which is the Eastern astrology, and it's a completely different chart. So I recently met with a guy who read my Vedic chart, and it's completely different. So I'm learning a little bit about Vedic astrology. The main thing about astrology is it's just like a perspective, right? I think when people get irritated or like, ugh, they're talking about astrology, like they're like, it's not like we base our whole lives off astrology. It's just like a perspective, just like the Bible adds like, yeah. It's just like
yeah.
So I've been learning some of the Vedic stuff through him. He did some classes, so it's been fun. It's been interesting. I'm really just like understanding so much more about myself, and I think if more people would dig deeper, they'd be like, okay.
Yes, I think you should try like every single modality. Like I have my birth chart. I have my like
your human design.
Human design chart. I have like
Myers
my personality tests. Yeah, like all the things.
I think and they're it's, all like, helpful.
Yeah, not all of them. I don't just, like. Yeah. Subscribe to any one of them as being exactly. the only way, but every single one of them has added information to how I think about myself, and like that's the biggest thing. Like we just need to like understand ourselves.
Yeah, my friend earlier we were talking about something, and I was like, "In the name of Jesus," and he was like, "You are a walking contradiction." I said, "I just believe that like multiple truths." Yeah, I mix. I am a walking contradiction, first of all, but. I believe that multiple truths can truth at one time, and I truly live my life like
absolutely.
That. Like I will say in the name of Jesus, and I will also be like, it's Mercury retrograde. I'm not doing that.
Absolutely.
Because that's just who I am. I believe that they can all.
I mean, that's where like I feel like extreme things that end up turning bad come from is just like only leaving room for one truth.
Exactly.
When like. Truth is truth, and you can feel truth.
Yes.
And that's how I know that it's more than one thing going on all the time.
Absolutely.
Like, so,
like for me, when these multiple people told me, like, my father wound is in my chart. Like, it was destined for me to have a father wound. Like, me having a Capricorn moon, I guess, is indicative of a father wound.
Wow.
And there's things in your chart that tell you why.
But it's like, it's so beautiful in a sense to be like, the stars, quite literally, on the day I was born, were like prophesizing my life in a sense. And it's so cool.
It helps you accept it more too. It's like, okay, this is my destiny.
Sure,
I can be
like,
sad about it, or I can
things.
Learn what I need to learn from this. And so it just helps you just accept it more. I just accept my reality a little bit better when I can understand it more.
Yeah.
Like, okay. And then like, I met with one astrologer. She's cool too. She told me, she was like, what happened when you were 13? I was like, you know what? Something did happen. What happened when you were 7? I was like, you know what? So it's like all written in the stars. Like, yeah. If you guys do anything in 2025, just be a little bit more open-minded to the intricate parts of astrology, and don't just go off of Virgos, you're going to be amazing in 2025. Like, yes, it's like tell yourself that. It's always good to tell your mind that, but go a little bit deeper. Go a little bit deeper. That's where it's at. What has been the most challenging part of navigating your biracial identity?
I guess just the constant feeling of being a little bit on the outside of most places that I'm at. And I think sometimes that feels really hard. Sometimes it's whatever. But I would say like the fluctuation of that. Of like how deep it feels, and also like that it is constantly that way, is pretty challenging, I would say. I think I did come to see it as like a superpower kind of early on. So I don't think I often viewed it as something wrong. But obviously, like, I have a white dad and a black mom. Things have come up where I don't agree with my dad, and or and we really get into it because just because, right?
Passion, that Aries.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. Or things where, like, I don't understand things that my mom did being with a white man, or like the parts of their relationship where, like, I maybe judged it from, like, a childish point of view, and then realized, like, oh, this is grown folks business.
Grown folks business. Like, stay out of,
like,
it.
Like, it's not my place to, like, think that either of them are wrong. Right. But obviously, it's like, as a kid, all that comes up and, like, makes you question everything, and then like things happening in the world, I think, makes you, like, question everything even more when you have both sides at home. And I think like, maybe not wanting to feel bad about how I personally choose to represent myself, because I know that it might make one of my parents feel a little bit different or weird, but in some ways that's for them to deal with and not me, really. They have anything to, if they have any feelings about how I choose to represent myself or identify and things like that. But I'm, like, you know, sensitive and emotional and compassionate to, like, how they feel. So I think definitely, like, getting over that has been helpful and challenging, kind of, like, you know, I'm on my journey and they're on theirs, and, like, they did make a mixed kid, and but I am also, like, who I am, and so.
Yeah, you have to be at peace with yourself, not, like.
Definitely. And I think sometimes that's been hard, like, for not them. Knowing, like, how to be at peace with myself when I'm, like, parts of myself, I don't know, in a societal point of view, I could be mad at, or ashamed of, or things like that, when it's, like, even though I don't really see myself that way, but it's, like, you know, heightened times recently in our culture have made me really think about that and stuff, and just
And then they pressure us to pick.
Yeah, and it's like pick. How could I possibly?
I've never had this. I can't pick.
It's like not even. It's not possible. Yeah. Like, I'm literally not. I'm that mixed can of paint. Like, you can't unmix it once you drop the drop in. Yeah. You can't unmix it. So it's like, it's not like I can just go back to one or the other. Even if I wanted to identify as white, I could not. And even if I wanted to identify fully as black, I'm going to be questioned.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest difference between, like, white people will not accept us as white. They would never be like, they're not white.
You're a white person. Yeah.
But, like, black people, it's like, yeah, you're black.
Exactly. Sometimes in, like we were talking about before, like, in black communities, it can feel like we're too light. But I have always felt accepted as a black person versus, like, in a white space. I'm not a white person.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of people that have validated me over the years that I'm very grateful for, that are like, baby, you're black. Like, I'll be like, yeah, like, I just don't, sometimes I struggle, or like, I'm so light. And they're like, girl, you're black. I'm like, you know what? Thank you. Like,
yes, thank you. No, totally.
Because, like, we, like,
these things
need
to be heard.
We do need to hear that. Yeah. Like,
we can be whoever we want to be and identify however we want. Although, like, identifying as white isn't really an option.
Yeah,
in my
I don't
mind.
Align with that.
Just because it's not. Yeah. It's not. But I identify as mixed, I guess, like, in some way, or not at all.
It would never feel natural for me to identify as white, just because maybe if I grew up with my dad, maybe I could see it more. But, like, you only grow up with black family, it's not even a thought to, like, write down I'm
even if
I'm
you
white.
Did, it wouldn't be the same.
No, it wouldn't be.
It's just, like, not the same.
I didn't grow up with white culture. I've known nothing really about it. Sure. I mean, I know a little bit, because I went to a predominantly white church. And, like, I had a white best friend. So, like, I was still enmeshed in the culture. But, hey, every night I was going home to a black family. every single day. Sure. Life is just crazy.
Really,
and when you think about it, it's like, it's so weird.
It really is. But it's, I think, so, like, lately in the last few years, I've been, like, able to embrace it even more as, like, a power of, like, perspective, for sure. I think having a rigid perspective, a black or white perspective, is dangerous.
Yes.
And clearly we've seen, like, it causes problems.
Yes.
To think that way about anything, to just be rigid in your thinking. And I think immediately, like, without having to know that this is a skill that I have, we've developed the skill of being able to see that in-between bit of everything. Yeah. And I think that that's...
superheroes.
Like, I think that makes us really smart. I think that makes us really, like, adaptable.
Compassionate.
Just compassionate. Yeah. Like, able to really, like...
That's what this podcast is about. Blend. It's about having multiple perspectives, because you're mixed. Yeah.
Yes. I was so excited to hear you, like, to bring this up and start this, because I do think it's like a worthy perspective to be heard. Yeah, and maybe something y'all can learn from mixed people is like, mix your ideas, mix your perspectives. Like the breakthrough that you might be looking for creatively or in your business or in anything, it might just be like right in the middle where you're not looking. Like you're looking at just one side or the other, like it's probably right there in the mix of both. And like
it's in your programming too. Gosh, I wish some of you would deprogram yourselves. Really, like I'm thinking right now, I'm like thinking about a few people that need to be deprogrammed. I think so many people are pressured too by their family life to believe certain things. And I think a lot of people are living a life that is peaceful for other people to be okay with their life, but it's not peaceful for them.
For them.
And I'm like, what are you doing? I am like big advocate for like, I do not care what my family thinks about me. I could care less. Absolutely. If I'm not at peace with my life, I'm not at peace with anything. I don't care if you're not at peace with how I'm living my life.
Sure.
Because it's my life. I have to be okay with it at the end of the day. You need to go worry about being okay with your life.
Absolutely.
That's what I think a lot of people should work on, is their thoughts are not their own most of the time.
Totally.
And I think being biracial helps us to realize that more and more early on. Because we've seen both sides. We're like, wait.
Yeah, they think this way. We realize that there's so much more going on.
Yeah. And so I think that's something that a lot of single race people maybe don't get introduced to. I think a lot of people wake up in their 20s and they start to, but like we've
had it's it been going our whole on life earlier for sure. Like even before we were aware.
Yeah, we were conscious of it. It's getting deep. It's making me think a lot. Deep. I'm like, wow.
I like it.
Mixed race.
No, it's so something. There's really something to your podcast. Yeah. The whole thing we're doing here.
We're finna make millions. I feel it. It's coming.
I agree.
This is an original thought. It's an original idea. We're gonna.
And that's how you get original thoughts, you guys. Like, everyone's like, oh, nothing's original anymore. Nothing's original. And it's like, well, nothing on just like this side or this side is original, but there's so much originality to be had in this mixed space. Like,
that's true.
We are both completely original, mixed, beautiful beings. And we have a completely like different perspectives, but here we are like meeting on the same perspectives and on the same wavelengths. And Yeah, I just think like that's what everyone's looking for, is like that mixed energy.
Yes.
Although I've heard like, I don't know, I don't have the science or the real numbers, but like more and more people are mixed now than anything
else. They say by 2050, like everyone will be mixed. Most everybody will be mixed. I'm like, wow.
I love that.
We are going to take over the world.
We're the first.
Oh my gosh. We pioneered it. My mom, I can't wait to have her on the podcast, but whenever I was born, the nurse walked in the room and like walked out because she thought she was in the wrong room. I'm like, that's not going to be a thing anymore. They're going to be like, oh, yep, that's her baby.
That makes sense. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
It is so crazy. There's a movie, too, that I need to watch. It's an old movie. But it's about you probably should watch it, too, but it's a black mom and she has a daughter that literally is played by a white woman. So it's like filmed in the 50s. They didn't find an actual black girl, mixed girl, but... And she like disowns her mom because she's black and like all this stuff. But I want to go watch that movie just to see, like, because mixed people back then was even more rare. Like, oh my gosh.
Totally. Even mixed relationships. Like, I know my parents like faced some
the loving case
some
and
issues.
Interracial marriage was not legal in some places for a long time. Like maybe up until like the 80s, 70s.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's crazy.
Which is insane.
And now it's like so commonplace. But yeah.
It's so calm. It's so crazy. My grandma was, gosh, she was born in the 30s and her dad looked white.
Yeah, my dad said maybe his great grandma was like, maybe it was his grandma and my great grandma. I don't know. I didn't know this woman. That she like would not come and meet my mom. Like when they were like engaged to be married or married even. I don't even know which, but like she wouldn't meet her because she's black. Refused to meet her. And my dad said he was like,
As he should.
That's where I'm like, at moments I didn't understand them.
Yeah.
Those little moments helped me see like that my dad really is like,
he's for the
standing up for her in a certain way and like for what they have and like that they did actually have to defend their relationship at some point.
That's
to, like,
that their generational family and, stuff, dude.
Totally.
And you know, maybe and mixed people weren't like super common, but like on plantations and stuff, like they were. Sorry, I'm censoring this, but they were black women. and getting having these mixed kids that way. And so I could see why there's so much, there's trauma behind it too, being mixed.
Because it wasn't okay.
Yeah.
And it was actually only happening because of something horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I wonder if there probably are some cases where like, maybe a white man did fall in love with a black woman back then and they just lovingly like, but and, then they both are getting, they both got offed. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy. You're getting offed because you love each other. Oh, crazy. My gosh. Have you seen that movie Passing? Mm-mm. You need to watch it. It's a good movie. Passing. This woman is married to a white man and he genuinely does not know she is black.
Okay, interesting.
And she gets pregnant. I don't want to tell all of it. She's really light skinned. Like, and obviously they're ignorant. To me,
sure.
There's more white people that are ignorant to mixed people than black people. Like, black people can spot it. They're like, oh she got some black in her. But features, there's some white people. Features, like, I'll be like, yeah, I'm mixed. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. So in this, so back to, this was like set in the 30s, I think. So this is like.
Okay, wow.
And so she was very like complected. And but when she got pregnant, oh, she was scared. Because she was like, what if my baby comes out darker, dark?
Yeah.
So the movie is really, it's really interesting. It's called Passing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I couldn't imagine doing that, dude.
No, that would be terrifying. I would be,
but then I'm like, man, girl, just tell him. Like, he's in love with you at this point. He's not going to, but maybe.
Sure, because, I mean, societal standards and stuff, like, he would have been like,
but I feel like they could have just both been like, okay, we'll just be hush-hush about it. But, like, I'm like, he's in love with you at this point. I don't think he's going to be like, kill her.
Man,
because she's got a drop of black in her. But, hey, I don't know. I don't know.
That was
crazy times, man. Okay, what do you wish more people understood about the experiences of biracial individuals? I know we've touched on a lot, but...
Yeah, I guess just, like, it doesn't need to be commented on, in a sense, in certain spaces, where it's, like, sometimes it's just not important to even make that distinction. And I think, like, sometimes people who aren't mixed don't get asked about their race or different things so much, or like just I don't know, you know what I mean, in certain spaces at certain times it's just like it's not the relevant information of what my race is or like what's my mix or any of that but at the same time like this is who I am right here and I don't know, I just think I don't have much because we've touched on
right
a lot.
So much. No, but that makes, I've never thought of it. Like, people probably really don't get asked their race as much as us.
Yeah, probably not. Like we're asked every so room. Much. Every time we go somewhere, it's like, what are you?
Wow.
What are you?
Because everybody else is just assumed.
Exactly. You're and black. It's like, but we're kind of hard to assume.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
wow.
Well, what are you? Yeah. Like, what kind what of question you? Is that?
What are you?
Stupid.
You look so exotic.
Yeah, so it's
I remember
like,
the first person that said that to me, and I love her. Like, she's an amazing, loved her, worked with her. She's like, you just have this exotic, like, you're just so exotic. You look like Israeli, and I'm like, really? Like, okay.
Thanks.
And it's like, it's a compliment, it's like, I guess, but it's like, exotic. Okay. Do you have any advice or any one thing that you want to say to anybody that's, like, struggling with their identity or, like, feeling isolated in their identity? Like, what helped you or, like, anything like that? Or what would you tell them?
I would tell them that at the end of the day, we're all we've got, like, each one of us, right? And I think actually realizing that and, like, doing something with it is how you meet the other people who become important in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not about being, like, an individual in a certain way, but it is about like knowing that like your identity is yours to define and create and to broadcast or not, and like the relationship you build to yourself is the absolute most important thing ever. I think that's like the one thing, if I could just like tell anybody, if I could only give one piece of advice ever for my rest of my life, is just like get to know yourself to the deepest possible level that you can, because it will guide the rest of your life in a crazy way. And I think I've like lived my whole life just like based on like intuition, because I have a good relationship with myself. And anytime I've betrayed that, even when I'm like questioning my identity, like anytime I've betrayed that, it has been the wrong move. It's okay to not know who you are or to be always figuring it out. Mm-hmm. But I would say it doesn't really matter as much as you think, like, what your identity is or, like, what other people see you mm-hmm. as. And so if you can just keep your relationship with yourself really strong, regardless of the many times that you will change and flux mm-hmm. through identity shifts and crises, mm-hmm. like, just keep your relationship to yourself solid. Don't ever betray yourself on the mission of learning mm-hmm. new stuff, because yourself is really all you've got. And, like, yeah. having a great relationship with yourself is how you have a great relationship to life in general. And you yeah. meet other people who yeah. are still figuring out their identities and still figuring out who they want to be, who at the end of the day they might not know. But we've just decided that we're not going to betray ourselves mm-hmm. and that we're going to figure it out on the way. That's why we're here right now. We're not done, neither of us, like, figuring things out or understanding what it is to mm-hmm. be mixed, or understanding, like, our parents or mm-hmm. our background or mm-hmm. all that, like, we actually mean to the world, because I think we mean a lot to yeah. the world. But just, yeah, wow. It's you and you, baby.
That was a divine message, you guys. That was so profound. She just preached to everybody, even if you're not mixed. She just preached to you. That was so beautiful. And this is where astrology doesn't make sense, because she is a crier and she has no water in her chart. I just don't understand it. Oh my gosh.
My earth is on top of a natural spring.
Yeah, it has to be. Oh my gosh. I am convinced the hospital meant to put 8 p.m. and not 8 a.m. We need to check. Oh my gosh.
That is so funny.
That is so interesting. Yeah. I want you to get a read from the astrologer and see if they tell you.
Okay, I need, like, a real legit.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so interesting. I love it, though. I think it's so important to let your emotions out. People don't cry enough. I think you probably cry for the whole world sometimes.
You're like, I agree. And yeah. I've been in some rooms before where, like, someone told me that, where, like, you know, you're just crying for the rest of us. And yes. we actually need you to do that. So yes. go ahead.
Oh my like, gosh. Okay. That's so validating. Okay.
I will.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because, like, I've really worked on it. I worked mm-hmm. on holding it back and being able to not do this. Yeah. And honestly, like, me right now, being able to just, like, cool talk through this mm-hmm. is progress for sure.
Yes.
But it won't stop, and I don't want it to.
No, I don't want it to either.
Like, it
makes
you
you. Yeah.
But, yes, it's taken some time to be this graceful with tears coming out of my eyes.
And you are graceful. It's like you could see it welling up, and you're like, wow, she's still, her voice isn't cracking or anything.
Oh, my God. I would
be, like, a hot mess if I started crying.
Literally the other day, I met my new softball team I'm going to be working with, and I swear I was ambushed. The guy told me I was coming to meet the girls, but apparently they were also having a parent meeting that night. Okay. So all the parents were there. All the girls were there. This is like 20 new people I'm meeting randomly. Gosh. I wasn't expecting this. I don't know. I feel like if I was prepared, mm-hmm. I would have been able to handle it better.
Oh my
but
gosh.
Then he's, okay, go ahead and tell them about yourself. And I'm like, oh my God, like, you just threw me under the bus right now. I wasn't prepared. You didn't tell me I was going to be in front of all these people. And I, like, immediately was like, okay, guys, I'm a crier, just because I could feel it coming up, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to announce it right away, get it out of the way, because, I don't know,
I feel like
sports people
so,
don't always react super well, crying and stuff. They're like, oh my God, what's going on? I'm like, it's
I feel
not
like
a
that's
deal,
so
guys.
Needed in women's sports. I feel like we see women, like, in those situations be having to be tough, and then here you are, a coach,
yeah, crying. Straight up crying in front of the parents, like, hey.
Oh my gosh. We didn't tell them what you do. Tell them what you do.
I thought about this. I knew you were going to ask, and I've been really working on how I'm going to, like, package this, because I don't want it to come off as basic as I can.
Right, right.
I am a creative sports coach and innovator. I coach softball athletes, but I also have a rich background in dance and creative movement, which has informed my coaching a lot. And so I train privately, I train with teams, I work on fitness, speed, strength, all the things. Mm-hmm. And I really am passionate about, like, the mental approach to sports and excellence in life.
Yeah.
So that's what I do for work. It's softball mostly. And mm-hmm. then I also artist, jewelry, painting, all the things.
And food. She's literally a super chef, like Michelin star level chef.
Oh my God, you flatter me.
I'm not kidding.
I can cook a little bit.
She does all the things. Like, she can do everything. I'm so impressed.
I would say, like, being mixed. It just like let me know that I could be everything, mm-hmm. and like that I could, I went to an art school and also played softball, and like, I don't know, for you out there who don't know, like those are very different mm-hmm. worlds. They're very different like seasons. There's mm-hmm. like a lot of clash and overlap that I just was determined to like
continue doing, and mm-hmm. it has built me a business and like given me so much perspective and really like a unique avenue to go in my business and yeah. to go past that whenever the time comes. So yes.
Wow. I love the name you gave it. Creative movement coach.
Yes, creative sports business. I'm trying to really like,
I like that,
infuse the element of creativity into the idea of sports, because I don't like sports people don't really embrace creativity as like a necessary factor. And it's like,
yes.
sports are horrible without creativity. Yes. Like the reason we all enjoy watching sports is not because of the like follow the rules element about mm-hmm. sports. It's because you see athletes who like became elite and learned how to follow the rules to the point where they could break them, and the mm-hmm. point where they could do amazing things that can yes. only possibly come out of like a creative moment of yeah. of like needing to do yes. something in the game. So
I think you found your niche. Like this is, that's what yes. you needed to call it. Like I feel a line, like that is a line for you.
I feel so
creative sport. Yes, that's yes. it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm really excited. I have some big things coming.
I'm so excited
for my business this year.
I'm so excited. If you do, you want to give them your social media or anything, or do you? You don't have sure. to.
I mean, I'm Perry Earnest on Instagram, PerriEarnest. Yeah. Oh my god, so fun! Like I watch a lot of. Yeah. I watch a lot, but I watch some podcasts, and it's like yeah. dropping the socials.
Yeah, her Instagram is a great, like, she's always posting good content. I love looking at her Instagram.
Thank you.
It's good. If you need sports coaching or just coaching.
Yes. You know, I'm definitely working on, like, breaking out of only coaching softball, just mm-hmm. because I know that the skills will, you know, yeah. are much more vast yeah. than just that one topic. Yeah. And, like, on the side of, like, creative sports, I'm also trying to like flip that and eventually offer like, I don't know what I would call it, but like the reverse of that, mm-hmm. which would be like artistic, athletic art or something.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, the opposite, because I think I grew up in both environments. I know a lot of sports yeah. people who need some creativity, who need some soul, who need some mm-hmm. some crying, yes. who need some like therapy.
They need to feel intense all the time.
Exactly. But I know some art people who need some intensity, who yes. need some like focus. And I really think like
I like this.
The way I've been able to find like my center between black and white is also how I feel like I've been able to find my like flow in like life and yeah. business, and between like these two things. And I think for a while I've just been like in this sports lane because that's where I found like, you know, some success, but mm-hmm. I definitely am like looking to round it out mm-hmm. by like offering the other side of it, which I feel like I understand because I understand this yeah. side of it. And so yes.
I'm excited for your 2025 girl.
Me too. This is great.
So excited.
Such an exciting way to start the
it
year.
It is. I feel like 2024 really prepared you, and now you're just, you know now.
I do.
And that's good.
Thank
that's
you.
So good.
I appreciate all the talks we've had to like yes. help me get to this level.
Our courage talk.
Like,
yes.
We've met. You've seen me in some like different positions
yes.
with this. And so.
Seen each other in these different positions. It's been beautiful. I'm so blessed to know you.
Agreed.
And have this friendship.
Yes. Me yes. too. It's honestly like, you guys, another little moment. You can find friends as an adult who are, like, really deep friends, mm-hmm. even in, like, a little bit of time. Like,
yeah.
I think it feels like after high school, how could you ever meet friends like that? Because mm-hmm. you don't ever get the same amount of time that you get. But, like, mm-hmm. I've met some of my best friends, like, after that time. And, like, in a short period of time, like, really only had a short yeah. relationship. But, like, I really consider you a great friend.
I do, too.
And I'm so excited to, like, raise kids together and nearby and just whatever, like, everything
so
that
excited.
Comes. I'm really excited. And it feels, like, aligned. And this is where
yes.
it's, like, if you just build your connection to yes. what feels aligned.
And not be scared.
And not be scared.
Yeah.
Like,
go out alone.
You will meet people who are end up being, like, totally for you with no effort. Like,
yeah.
I literally put myself out there to go to a random event by myself. I sat all the way at the end of the table away from all these people because I was like still being awkward. And then I'm like, no, like, do not leave without saying hi to these girls at the end of the table. And boom, here we are. Yep. Friendship.
Here we are.
Because I was like, I have to go say hi. Because I did not come out here to be by myself. Exactly. Like, I came out here to try to meet somebody. So
that's why I tell people you have to do the cringy things. Like the things that feel cringy to you are, that is your opportunity. That's your body telling you you have an opportunity to pivot and grow here.
Absolutely. And it's really not that cringy.
It's actually not. After you get through, you're like, you know what? I'm glad I did it. And then even if it is cringy, you're like, dang, well, at least I tried.
Exactly.
You like, cannot be afraid of rejection. No. You just can't.
Not at all.
At all. Okay, last question. Okay. My favorite question to ask my guest, even though I've only had two. What is a book that has impacted your life the most?
Okay, let's see. Actually, I had an answer prepared. I'm ready for this. Okay. It's called No Ordinary Moments by Dan Millman.
Okay. No Ordinary Moments by Dan Millman.
A Peaceful Warrior's Guide to Daily Life.
Ooh.
His other book is Peaceful Warrior, which is another really good book.
Okay.
But the No Ordinary Moments just, I think, really helped me to, like, live my life in that way. Like, there are no ordinary moments. Everything is amazing and profound. Everything means something. Everything is deep. Mm-hmm. And I think, to the flip side, nothing is important and nothing is deep and, like, nothing is anything. Like, it's all, because I think you have to have that balance so that life doesn't get incredibly heavy. But, like, on the side of gratitude and just, like, everything is so beautiful and so special, and there's nothing ordinary about this life or about these moments or about, like, getting to do a freaking podcast or about, like, the power that our phones have to, like, do this for us and to, like, give this, like, give us this, like, wide reach and this connection and, like, the beautiful tea and, like, the mug and the moment, like, all of these details she has in her home. Like, none of this is ordinary. This is all, like, incredible. Like, everything's just so incredible.
Yeah.
And I think this book, I think, really sticks in my mind because I was reading it and a couple years ago, and something hard happened in my family life. And we were, like, we were at the hospital one day. And it was during COVID, so we couldn't go inside the hospital. And I was reading this book. I just had this book, and I got to the end of the book, and, like, the final, like, paragraph, like, poem just was, like, so crazy. Like, I need to, like...
You were weeping in the hospital parking lot.
Yes, I was, because it was just, like, oh, my God, that was everything I needed to see in that moment of, like, grief and, like, having a hard moment. It's just, like... from that book.
So, oh my gosh.
I really like that book. It's and it's also an easy read, I would say. Like, okay, it's a really, like, approachable book, because I think the other book that came to my mind is not approachable. It is difficult. Which that book is A Course in Miracles.
Oh yeah, I knew you were gonna say OMG. That. We both read that last read that. Year. Are you full? You finished
I finished it.
It
took me over a year.
It is an intense book.
Yeah, it took me probably over
my
a year.
Gosh,
I read it, like, probably page by page every night. I just read a couple pages. I, like, underlined the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
but that was a really great book too. But that one's a little more deep.
Oh my gosh, it doesn't have zeros anymore.
Not beginner friendly.
I don't know what that means.
Well, if we just did all this for nothing, that'd
hard
be cool.
Full. No, it definitely made it to, like, an hour.
Okay, well.
Because I saw the time, but now it says card full. Okay, well, I guess that's our abrupt cutoff. I guess we'll finish it on the video only portion.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Oh my gosh, I hope that it got some of it. Divine cancellation.
Divine shut off.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, this is Perry. This is my biracial friend. I'm so glad she came and talked to us today.
Me too. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy you did this. This is so fun. This is my first biracial. Wouldn't have wanted anybody else.
Oh, thank you. So happy. This is great.
Okay. Well, we'll see you on
the
next
Blue-ish.
Episode. Watch. Stream Blue-ish.
It's awesome on all platforms.
On all platforms. Except Amazon. I say all platforms, literally Spotify and Apple, but the website.
To me, all platforms is those two.
Yeah. So. Somebody was like, is it on Amazon? And I was like,
who's on Amazon?
I was like, no. Do I need to put it on Amazon? Google Play?
No, I think you're good with the main
two. I hope so.
We're on all major platforms.
Yeah.
For music and pods.
Yeah, we are. All right, you guys.